Hey, everybody. Welcome back to VGPA Video Game Podcast. Guys, we are back. It's been a little bit since we've last recorded. And actually, there's a lost episode. The last time we recorded, I didn't get a chance to edit it. So that actually is coming out this Thursday. I have that already booked.
So it's not lost anymore. It's been found.
Damn.
Yeah, so it's not lost. But I will say this. In this episode, we're going to be covering a whole bunch of fun stuff since we last talked. We need to go over the Embracer group. We need to go over how Maze is doing. That's the most important thing, because screw Billy and I. This is Maze's show.
It is.
And additionally, yeah, dude.
Maze,
dude,
I was late.
Love you, man. You
got a little testy there.
I did. It's my show. You're on my time, you piece of shit.
We're on Maze's time. And I would say this. So we got the Embracer group to talk about. We got the Fallout TV show to talk about. We have Final Fantasy to catch up on. We have my experience with the PlayStation Portal. There's a couple different things I want to point out since the last time we talked that are both positive and negative experiences, Maze. But a whole bunch of other news. But where do you guys want to start? And oh yeah, the whole Samus debacle and some other things. But where do you guys want to start? We got so much to talk about.
Why don't we kick it off with my girl, Samus?
Okay,
that's a light, easy story.
A light topic,
but a good one.
We're gonna tear it apart.
Yeah,
dissect it.
So this comes by way of There was a recent interview in Game File. This comes by way of Epic Games Chief Creative Officer Donald Mustard. Great name, by the way. Game File. I tried to read the actual article or video for this, and it was behind a paywall. So apologize for that. So I'm reading this secondhand, but additionally too via people on Twitter. So my apologies.
Was that Donald's fault? Did he put the paywall up?
I'm not entirely sure. Well, it's his fault for doing the interview with them, but we wish them the best. Go and check it out if you can. Give them some props. But with that being said, a lot of this comes by way of court documents, additionally to Mustard talking about this. We kind of knew that there was something even before he talked about this, and now we get to know a little bit behind the scenes. To quote him, he said that they got really hung up on their characters showing up on platforms that weren't their own platforms. So Samus was in the cooker, and additionally too, they said that they would be thrilled to have Nintendo characters in Fortnite, but just only if it's on their platform. So Nintendo was very saying, hey, listen, we want these to be on our platform, or we want these to be in the game, but only if they're on our platform. And this honestly kind of adds up with how we've seen Rocket League. Remember how there was the Luigi and Mario Kart? I don't believe you can get those. I think there were system exclusives. Same with Diablo 3. We saw the Ganondorf outfit. So I think Nintendo has done this in the past. But I think the one thing that is true about this is we've only seen it if the game is only on their console.
Do they have those same restrictions on Rocket League and Diablo with those? Like
it's
only available and only be able to see by other Switch consoles?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I believe I did read an article today that showed a clip that they have worked with Phantasy Star Online before, that being a Japanese company that does that, and that was on other platforms for like a Zelda skin or something like that. But yeah, this doesn't surprise me, like all this stuff. And honestly, good on Nintendo for playing hardball here. I mean, I think we all like, they're very protective of their IP. We all love their IP. We want Fortnite to obviously have it and like Nintendo characters in there. I think that's really cool. But it is Samus. That's a treasure thing to me. I hold her very close. And also like they're willing to work. It's like a middle of the road kind of thing. They probably were asked to, this is a good character or Zelda's a good character. They're probably like, Nintendo's probably like, okay, what can you guys do for us? We want to meet in somewhere in the middle. Other teams have made it happen before. We've seen this with Bethesda, with Skyrim. They put the Zelda skin in that game. That was a console exclusive, right?
I mean, not to interrupt, but
that was
but
also
I think
a single player game.
Yeah, but I would say this. I think the best example of this that we've seen, and Maze, I think this is also another single player exclusive here, is Starlink Battle for Atlas, where there was a huge chunk of the game was exclusive to the Nintendo Switch because you had Star Fox and the whole, I believe there was a whole DLC
fucking great
mission
game,
that was exclusive to, yeah. But why would you play that game on any other console knowing that Star Fox is on Switch?
Yeah, but those are all those are all great examples, but it's also those are single player. So that's an easy one to say yes to because you're not doing cross-platform play like you are with a game like Fortnite. But how Nintendo of an answer is that to say yes but also say no at the same time, knowing they would not take advantage of that? That there's no way they could agree to it being exclusive to the Switch and only visible on Switch consoles?
I have to say, they're playing, first of all, they're playing hardball. They're also leaving a fuck ton of money on the table to keep their IP safe.
Like Nintendo needs it.
You know what, though? That's what makes it's like the mouse. It's like Mickey Mouse. It's like they're hardcore blocking. And I understand.
Yeah, but you just said it yourself. Good on them for doing it. And we had this conversation in the group chat with our esports correspondent, Clayton Augustus Power. I don't see it as a bad thing. I think Fortnite's getting out of hand. It's literally just, what has Fortnite done for me lately? It's the same game, and all they keep doing is just adding other IPs that you're playable now. It's becoming like a circus in that game. I mean, you can play
Billie Eilish
everything.
Just joined the fray, I believe.
Is that as a character, or is that going to be another one of those virtual concerts in the game that they do?
Believe as a character.
Okay, I mean, this is what I'm talking about. It's like, it's getting out of hand now. It's just like...
And maybe, Maze, that's what they're scared of. Nintendo is a very traditional company. They like having full control. And this is something like, maybe they don't want Travis Scott concerts and Mario mixing. You know, it's like...
And maybe that has something to do with
just
it.
They saying, just, like,
you know, you're probably onto something, honestly, because they have an image to keep, and, you know, nothing against Travis Scott or any of the other virtual concerts they do, but those don't exactly meld with Nintendo's view of their IPs. You're not going to see Mario and Luigi or Peach just at a mosh pit or something like that at a concert. That's not how they roll.
Yeah,
I don't know. I personally feel like good on them, good for them playing hardball with them. And it's just like there's so many different IPs in this game, and it's hilarious because it's like Clay pointed out, Solid Snake is in Fortnite. I did not know that. You know who I did know was in Fortnite? Peter Griffin. It's just some things get overshadowed, and it just amazes me like that. Like how is that even possible? What? I knew he was in there, but it's like, how does
Naruto's
like Solid Snake? I knew he was in there, but it's like, how does Solid Snake get overshadowed by like Peter Griffin? Like one of the biggest video game IPs out there. Like he's one of the most well-known ones. Like I literally did not know he was in the game. And it's hilarious to me. But it's just like they keep adding and adding, and I get that that's how they make their money because it's a free-to-play game. It's just like, where does it end, though? Like,
yeah,
everything is in there.
I think, long story short, I think Fortnite will always be around.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's going anywhere. It's never going to go away. It's a culture. It's a video game cornerstone that will always be there. But
here's the thing.
I think
they defined the Battle Royale genre is what they did. They defined it. And I think the thing is that, you know, even though people like me who I did play back in the day have fallen off it, there's always going to be a new generation who wants to get in on that. Because some well-known character that they love is now added, or it's a cool thing to do, or they watch it on Twitch, and it's like, I want to get into that. So it's never going to go away. It's always going to be there. It's just,
it's It's always going to be there, and I think they're starting to branch out. You see the Lego Fortnite, which is going to be adding a battle pass. I believe there was rumors that it's going to be adding a battle pass in June, and then there's the Fortnite.
Is that really branching out? It's still Fortnite. Just with Legos.
Well, then there's the Fortnite, you know, version of Rocket League, and then there's the Fortnite version of Guitar Hero, and you know, that now can use Rock Band guitars. Here's the thing. It's I know we can kind of laugh, but a lot of people play this game.
I'm gonna need you to explain that to me.
And there's a lot of people that love this stuff.
I'm going to need you to explain that one to me. Fortnite version of Guitar Hero and Rocket League? What does that even mean?
Yeah, they're building like games within games here.
Yeah.
So like Guitar Hero and Fortnite?
Yeah, it's like a separate game, pretty much. But it's within the Fortnite universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, long story short, all this coming back full circle with Samus, as a Metroid purist, let's focus on getting Metroid Prime 4 out the door before you worry about this. And, you know, I'm also kind of happy that, you know, she's not in this game. Because it just, you know, just doesn't.
I mean, how would that have really affected you if she was? Be honest, how would it have affected you? I just
don't like that. No. Don't do that.
Would it really have done anything to you?
Don't do that to her.
What do you mean don't do that to her?
Oh, no.
I don't see how that would have affected you.
Maze, they've already tarnished her enough with the Other M and Federation Force.
Let's get back on track. I don't see how this would tarnish her. Let's be honest.
We don't need any more of that. Well, guys, let's continue. You know, honestly, here because we got a big place.
I just want to say I would have found it very fascinating to see how they would have implemented her. Because given that she already has like a built-in hand cannon, that probably wouldn't have been in the game. She has to use like the weapons that you're normal with. I wonder if it would have been. I'm curious.
I know it's like I'm very particular. I know it's like, and this sounds like not. It's kind of snooty. But I'm very particular. Like I trust like Sakurai to do it for Smash Brothers because he takes the time and effort to really like hone in on the characters and make them like pure as they would be in their games.
Bill, you realize you're about Fortnite where it's literally just going to be a skin.
It's just
on top of their model rigging.
I know.
There's nothing going to be special about it. It's literally just going to be a skin, and everything else is going to be the same.
I don't know. I think you're getting too much into the weeds. I don't like that.
I haven't played Fortnite, so I can't. I haven't either.
But let me break it down for you. It's like literally every skin that is added to the game is just the model on. It's just the character on top of their model. It's all going to be the same. It's no different than playing as the base Fortnite skin. You run around with it like your little handheld weapon, you collect guns, and you fight your way to the finish.
Mace, I'm pretty sure you're the only guy here who's done it and will.
Yeah, pretty sure. I don't expect you guys to ever touch that game.
Okay. Well, I'll say this,
guys. That says it all.
Let's talk about, real quick, talk about the Embracer Group, and then I kind of want to get to talking about what we're playing, additionally to some Fallout, some Portal, all sorts of other stuff, and some games coming out this week, because we have a big one coming out this week called Stellar Blade. But guys, we got kind of some news with the Embracer Group. They are kind of an interesting group here. For those that don't know, the Embracer Group kind of came on the scene a couple years ago. You might know them as THQ Nordic. They came on, they bought a whole bunch of studios, and yeah, turned out that wasn't a great idea. And they tried to, yeah, now they're kind of trying to do a fire sale almost. They sold some studios, they closed down some studios. The most recent one being Gearbox, selling back to, well, they, I think we could, if it may, it's only if you have a couple million laying around. But so with that being said, yeah, the biggest one being, they also did last year as well. They bought the rights to Lord of the Rings, which is kind of odd. That's just them randomly spending money, which I respect.
Have they done anything with that yet?
No, I don't believe they have. They also lost out on a $2 billion partnership deal last year. They shut down several projects, laid off employees. But yeah, let's talk about kind of them in the news this week. So the big thing is that they separated the Embracer Group into three companies. So it's going to be broken down into three different groups now, three separate, entirely separate companies. I don't know if it just means they're just saying, hey, listen, this, we're completely divesting and we're just doing A, B, and C, or how this works. But we'll just kind of say this is A, B, and C all running independently. So the first one being Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, which the company is going to be renamed from the Embracer Group. It's going to be the creative powerhouse in AAA gaming per them and publishing. This is going to retain the ownership of the Dead Island franchise, the Killing Floor franchise, the Kingdom Come Deliverance franchise, the Tomb Raider franchise, and all of the Lord of the Rings IP.
So, I was going to say, they better have that one with a name like that.
Yeah, so that is the Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. Then we have the Asmodee Group, which is a new arm dedicated to publishing and distributing tabletop games. So they own, I didn't realize they own these, Ticket to Ride, Seven Wonders, Catan, Azul, Exploding Kittens, and additionally to, they're going to be working with the Lord of the Rings, Marvel, Game of Thrones, and Star Wars franchises to make more tabletop games.
Okay.
And then the last one being Coffee Stain and Friends, which is the which is a diverse gaming entity, which will focus on kind of their middle market games. So this includes Deep Rock Galactic, Goat Simulator, Wreckfest, Teardown, Valheim, and some other projects. So very kind of interesting. I think it makes sense, but it also kind of begs the question of within the Embracer Group, you had before THQ Nordic, you had Foray Games, the people behind Metro, you had, which I believe will probably go to that first group that I mentioned, which is Middle Earth and Friends or whatever. And in many ways, I think this is good, but once again, we will wait to be seen. It's one of those things where the Embracer Group, I think, I'm just going to say this now, and I want to hear you guys. I think it was a interesting idea, but I think I don't understand how they were ever going to make money from this, because it seemed like they were just buying everything and just banking on everything selling, and it never really kind of panned out like that.
So is Embracer Group like, is it just no more? It's just these three entities now?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm with you on this, Tim. They just went on a shopping spree with, they basically maxed out several credit cards and they had no way to pay it off is what happened. And now they're paying the price. And I think this is the logical thing to do because they clearly weren't making back what they spent on all those groups.
Well, they're big, like they were basically gambling that or betting that company was there. I believe there was an investment firm that was basically going to give them like a couple $1 billion. Right, Tim? And
that, yeah, when that 2 billion.
Yeah. When that fell through, that basically kiboshed dismantled their entire like plan of what they were going to do. So it's like,
but it's kind of a bad
$2 billion is a fuck ton of money.
Yeah, but if that's what you're banking on, then something went horribly wrong beforehand. If you need that kind of, I guess technically it's a bailout, is it not, in a way? If you needed the $2 billion to keep afloat?
They needed like capital to keep the ship going, you know, and they basically used all this, they bought all these companies and
yeah, so so they were banking on the $2 billion because they essentially used that as, hey, they used that as money that they thought they had, and so they spending, when that money fell through, they essentially became $2 billion in debt, and so that's when the selling and the closing money happened.
Yeah, it's an accrual amount of cash. Like they took that and that was good. Basically, their bottom. That was what they had, and when that fell through, that went off the table. They can't account. They can't put that on the books. So all of a sudden, they're at a deficit of $2 billion, and they basically had to sell off parts of the company.
So they were spending money they didn't officially have.
They were probably holding the line as long as they could. And they were like, they got to a point where it's like, okay, we need this to go through. I remember the day it happened and they were like, this is, and the owner of the Embracer, the president came out and was like, yeah, this is fucking bad.
Yeah. And once again, I don't know the whole background behind this, but what I do know is they own a lot of studios. And I think more studios than we think. They own 111 different studios as of this recording. And they own a lot of studios that we go, oh, no, they just own THQ Nordic. No, here are some of the things that they own. They own, and I'll just name a couple of them. Of course, THQ Nordic, which has a whole bunch of studios within them. Purple Lamp, you know, Handy Games, Gunfire Games, all sorts of other ones. Bugaboo Entertainment. The list goes on. They own Playon, which has Deep Silver, Flying Wild Hog, Milestone, and a whole bunch of other studios inside that. Then they also own Coffee Stain, Amplifier, which has a whole bunch of studios within that. Amplifier Game Invest, which has studios within that. One of the studios within that being Tarzer Studios, which is the people behind the Little Nightmares. They own Deca Games, which has studios within that. They own a lot. Yeah, they have a lot. And we could keep going. But the last thing I'll say, the interesting ones that I think about is Dark Horse Media, which owns Dark Horse Comics Entertainment.
Yeah, I saw that the other day, like all the Dark Horse like books and stuff, right? Do they own that? So like
they own Limited Run, Middle Earth Enterprises, Crystal Dynamics, Eidos Montreal, 4A Games, which is the people behind Metro, Aspyr, Zen Studios, and the other Spire's one that you guys would know.
They pissed off.
Yeah, I'm just listing off the ones that you might know, and of course Tripwire, right here in Georgia.
I love Tripwire.
Yeah,
fuck yeah. Yeah, it's sad whenever this happens, but you know, it is what it is. You know, we're gonna see what happens to these studios. I guess the big thing is don't spend money that you don't have, right? And be smart with your purchases.
Yeah, I think that's the key lesson here. don't spend money, especially when we're talking in the billions, if you don't have it.
Yeah, no, and I think it was cool when they started, because you go, oh, the THQ is back, and it kind of opened up a space that we didn't have before, which is this AA space, and it was kind of cool because we have had these games that normally we wouldn't get, because there was a while there that it was just either AAA or indie for a hot minute. At least that's what I remember.
Not gonna lie though, like just in the past, and I will say 10 years, anyone that's listening to this knows this if you're very into gaming, is that the indie scene has gotten so fucking good at making games that it's almost like, I think there's indie games out there, many indie games out there that are game of the year worthy.
Oh, and, easy.
And it's like, it's starting now, the gap is closing. So when you have these, like, we call them B-tier studios, you know, that are making these games that are just okay, you know, when do you have time to play this? Like, are you really going to set time aside to play those games when you have games like Hades that are coming out, or Sea of Stars coming out, which are independent game studios? Fantastic. AAA games. Like, when are you?
I will argue, and once again, we can move on to maybe Fallout and some other things, but I will argue this with that, in that they have been making, the Embracer Group, there have been some hit or misses with them recently. And I think with that being said, some of the studios I just named off, I could think of some games by them. The Dead Island 2, great game. Hot Wheels Unleashed, great series. You know, SpongeBob didn't hit, but Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated was a good game. So, you know, there's certain games, and the list goes on. I'm not doing it justice. You know,
it's tough.
Shark
though.
Man-Eater. No, you know, another one.
It's tough because there are games in there that are excellent, but you know, the indies have really set the bar. Like there's some really fucking good ones out there, and so everyone's picking and choosing. And money's tight. People only have so much, or if it goes to Game Pass, you can play it there, which is fantastic. But it's hard. I mean, like, I think as a publisher, or like a person, like a group, like Embracer Group, really needs to nitpick and find, and, you know, really hand select the indies that they acquire, or the studios that they acquire, and get really good ones. It's why Devolver is so successful. You know, it's like they cherry pick the best ones. You know, it's really good, and everyone knows it. Everyone who develops games knows that. So like,
no, I agree.
So if you're an indie guy and you get picked up for the first time by Devolver, you're probably fucking pumped that they picked you up.
Well, Bean. Based off of recent events, it doesn't sound like Embracer Group's strong suit is using common sense.
Well, I'll say this,
Maze,
guys.
They need you
let's
in there.
Yeah, Maze, you would, you would tell them what to do.
Maze, you would keep those purse strings tight.
Oh, you know I would.
Yeah, Maze would be like, guys, let's put this all. Maze's first order of operations, you guys off the side.
I'm just gonna be like, what do you guys think of this one? Nah. All right, you heard.
No, Maze's Maze, your first order of operation would be putting it on. You'd be like, let's put this on my Amex card so I can get some points. That would be your first.
Let me get that business gold card.
We got a whole bunch of things coming out. This week, so I kind of want to quickly go to that, and then we could talk about kind of what we're reviewing or what we're gaming on. I want to talk about some Fallout stuff and kind of talk about some Final Fantasy, maybe some PlayStation Portal. But any other news before we switch off of this?
No, there's a lot of good games out. I'm pumped to talk about the games.
Well, I'll say this, guys. Let's move on to some news, or not some news, some games coming out this week. So this week we got Udian, definitely butchered that.
You got it.
Udian Chronicles 100 Heroes coming out on pretty much all systems and on PC on April 23rd. Hammer Watch 2 coming out on the Xboxes and the PlayStation 4 on April 23rd. Lunar Lander Beyond coming out on all systems on April 23rd. Phantom Fury on PC. Tales of Kenzara, Zao, coming out on April 23rd. This game looks interesting. It's a Metroidvania. It was the one based in, I believe it's the one, the African one, correct?
Mm-hmm. I guess it was a PlayStation Showcase one, right? Something like that.
Yeah, or... PlayStation Plus game day one. So this one, go and check it out. Really, really cool stuff. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade, Wrath of the Mutants. This one I heard was just okay. Pretty much all systems out today. Another Crab's Treasure coming out on April 25th. This one is actually a Game Pass game, so go and check this out. It's not on PlayStation, which is...
That one looked interesting. Yeah. That one looked interesting. That's how... isn't that the one that you're fighting as a crab to get your... That's the one where you're like fighting as a little crab to get your shell back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one looked interesting. I'm kind of intrigued by that one.
I'll kind of give you some interesting games... Here are the top games I recommend. I'm gonna say a couple more, and then we're gonna talk about the three probably best games this week. Library of Runa coming out on the PlayStations and the Switch on April 25th. Saga Emerald Beyond, that looks like a Billy game, coming out on all systems.
Oh yeah,
except for Xbox on April 25th. Demon Slayer Sweep the Board coming out on Switch on April 26th. Manor Lord coming out on PC on April 26th. And Top Spin 2K25 coming out on April 26th. Now, here are the big three that I would recommend this week. One for each of us. So, Maze, this is probably the one I'd recommend for you. Sandland coming out on the PlayStations and the PC and Xbox on April 26th. Billy, here's one for you. Stellar Blade on April 26th on PlayStation 5. And, of course, the one for me, Fallout 4 Next Gen Update on April 25th.
Yeah.
So, dude, with that being said,
packed week.
I like how you gave each of us a game, but I want to play all of those.
Yeah, no, literally all of them. And the reviews drop for, we won't really talk about Stellar Blade, but the reviews do drop for Stellar Blade tomorrow. By the time you're listening to this, you probably already see those reviews. I hope they're good. Now, I have a feeling they're going to be good. I hope it's better than Rise of Ronin. I think Rise of Ronin kind of came and went, and it's kind of sad. I think it very much underperformed. Additionally, too, we also know Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. We can talk about that in a minute when you guys are reviewing the game. But that game hasn't, from most accounts, hasn't sold quite as well as they were expecting, which is kind of sad. But with that being said, Maze and Bill, what do you guys think about the games coming out this week? Do those three, the last ones I mentioned, those ones are some big ones?
Yeah. Stellar Blade, I'm very interested in. I do know that people have started playing this game for review. I do know that God, I don't know his name off the top of my head. But the director for Nier Automata is obsessed with this game. He loved it so much that he's reached out and he's making exclusive Nier content for this game down the road. They're going to team up and work together. So that's excellent to hear. If he's
that's a glowing review right there.
Glowing review from there. The people that are not happy with it is EA is not happy with this. From Japan, because it's
got, with the Dead Space.
With the
Dead Space stuff. About that.
Yeah, so this game is uncensored worldwide. There's very gory game, a lot of nudity in this. They got basically hit for the Dead Space stuff, blocked in Japan because it was very gory. By the rating system over there, they're wondering why this game wasn't blocked and theirs was. So there's all that going on. All that said, this game looks fucking good. I'm pumped to pick this up. I'm also really excited for Yudian Chronicle this week. I know, like, we kind of glazed over that. That's the Suikoden successor. I'm sorry. And it's been getting decent reviews. It's performing really well. It's performing decent on PlayStation 5.
Jason Schreier didn't like this, though.
I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure there's... I've heard across the board, because I have my crew of YouTubers that just do JRPG. I have about 5 or 6 guys that I go to. I watch all the reviews and get my like total score. The majority of them are saying it's good. They're saying that this game is a super traditional JRPG, turn-based combat. It's a hybrid 3D, 2D style.
And it's an Xbox Day One Xbox, on Game Pass.
Xbox Day One Game Pass. It's on PlayStation. Unfortunately, you have to pay for it there. How much?
70 or 60?
50. It's a budget title game.
Oh, okay.
The Switch version is actually $60. The physical for that has been delayed until May. But the Switch version is actually performing really bad. So it's like, I think it's rocking like a 50. It's having a lot of issues with performance. They're saying that there's going to be patches. One thing that 505 Games has been doing really well is responding and quickly patching it to the best of their abilities. The game releases today, so I don't know if the final build today is going to be fantastic. But from the reviews I've seen, the Switch has had a lot of issues. There's a lot of like crashes, and it's not performing well. So if you're going to play it on PlayStation.
That's not what you want.
No.
That's not what you want.
No.
Don't you love how we've reached a point in RPGs in general that like now a descriptor is like traditional classic RPG style like turn-based, because we've just like gone like a complete like 180 away from those kind of games and now we're coming back to them.
Yeah, it's
you love how that's happened? Like everything comes full circle. They've evolved and now we're coming back.
I do miss it, like, because playing Final Fantasy right now, it is turn-based, but it is a lot of like it's live action where you're running around.
Oh,
and
it's
you're
not
hitting.
Turn-based at all.
Well, no, they're, well, no, it's not turn-based. It's action, but you do get to input.
It's live-action RPG. Yeah, you do, but it's not turn-based. It's all live.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The only turn-based in that game is Queen's Blood.
Yeah, Maze, I will say that this game does look interesting. There's over 100 different characters that you can have in your party for the 100
Jesus!
Heroes. So,
how many
like,
can I have it at one time? How many can I have play active?
I think there's like six in a party.
And Billy, just to get back to those exact numbers on Metacritic, we have the reviews on PC, it's averaging a 79, reviews on PlayStation 76, Xbox 72, and then it drops rapidly to the Nintendo Switch at 57. So if you get it on console, you're probably looking at a 75. If you get it on Switch, yeah, I would just skip that.
Yeah, I'm not planning. I was planning on getting on the PlayStation 5. They say performance is actually really good. It was funny. They did a side-by-side with the Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox, and PS5. And the PS5 and the Xbox X were running really well. So, I don't know. I mean, if you are into... I would say skip this if you are not a super old-school JRPG. This is like a 1990s throwback. So if you're not into that, stay
that
away
sounds
from that.
Lovely right now. I've played so many of these like live action RPGs. Just a traditional turn based sounds so nice right now.
Less
something about it.
Less thinking
about
it. No, it's like that slow thinking where you're just like, let me think
about
what I'm gonna do.
Like in Final Fantasy right now, it's like there, it does do like the time stop thing, like it slows everything down when you're in the like the ability menus, but like at the same time, it's like you still gotta think like critically. You gotta be quick about it too.
Maze, can I just say this? You know what really grinds my gears is you don't play tactical RPGs. That shocks the living hell out of me.
I
want to
think, but not that much. Because
Fire Emblem Three Houses should be the next game. Like, that is, if we're talking about games that are up your alley, that is a Maze game to a T. There's certain games that you look through and
it's like Persona and anime and like...
I know, and there's so much to freaking play. It's going to be hard to ever go back. You know how big the fucking backlog is and how it keeps just growing? Doesn't end. Doesn't stop.
I would say, though, like, you know, last year we played Fire Emblem Engaged, where I did, and not a lot of people gave that the time of day. That game is the most, like, anime, like, 1990s anime-style game. Like, the characters just look like, kind of like that early, like, Sailor Moon style. Like, very interesting.
I would also say, Billy, going off of that, it's anime, but it's also great games in general. Baldur's Gate 3, which is probably, speaking of last year, is probably the game of the year. In many ways, Baldur's Gate 3 is very much a tactical RPG. I kind of view, after playing that game for 40 plus hours, that I classify that. It feels... It's very similar to how Wasteland, and somebody could say, oh no, it's very similar how Wasteland plays, like those games.
You ever beat
play.
That, Tim?
What?
You ever finished Baldur's Gate?
No, me.
I knew what he was doing there. He was fishing.
You're baiting me. You're baiting
I'm trying
me.
To
you
bait.
Know what, Maze?
Dude, it's
you,
like
Maze,
the
hey,
one
Maze.
Game. It's the one game that I've seen you invest like over like 50 hours in a long time, and the fact that you haven't beaten yet is kind of disappointing to me.
Maze,
sometimes that happens.
You sound just like my mother. There's a lot of things that have disappointed me over the years. I still need to go back and play Cyberpunk. I still need to go and watch the new Sonic TV show, Knuckles. So
no, that launches on Friday. You're not late to that yet. Because we have to watch
it. Well, Friday, I need to watch it. Speaking of TV shows,
we're going to.
Have you guys started Fallout, the new TV show?
I have.
We'll move right into that.
I have. I'm halfway through it.
I'm two episodes in and finished. Okay. Really like the show. I know you love this show, Tim.
Yeah, so I finished.
Maze, now, like, you finish it. Tim, you're a diehard Fallout fan.
And Ellie's dad is also currently watching it right now too, and he's also he's a hardcore Fallout fan. He's played all of them, even 1 and 2.
Damn,
oh, wow.
that's very
didn't
hardcore.
See that coming.
That's like that's like finding someone that's like played the entire Yakuza series that like you wouldn't think is a gamer, and you're just like, holy fuck.
Yeah, I didn't see that one
that?
Coming. I thought we were
yeah,
about
I was
to
like
speak
respect
to,
the biz.
I met a guy. You guys know Jake. Like he played Yakuza Kiwami just like randomly. He's like, oh, I love that fucking game. And I was like, have you played any of the other ones? He's like, no. And I was like, that's
sometimes you just you meet people like that just go, hey, I played this random game that you've never heard of, and you go, holy shit, and you know, and then you go, have you played? And you name some modern game. Have you played? Like you'll say like to Jake, he'll be like, oh, I played Yakuza Kiwami, and you go, have you played? You know. Dark Souls, and they'll be well. That's a bad example.
Well, that's a bad example.
yeah. You'll say some random game like, have you played? Yeah. They'll be like, have you played Alan Wake? And they're like, I've never heard of that.
Like, I know. Like I know, it was but like, we're like so in tune. I think we know like almost. We know so many games. Although there's a lot of PC games that I don't know because I'm not into the master race. Supposedly, I'm.
Yeah. Well, and you know what bugs me? I'm throwing Clay under the bus. I'm going to throw some shade here. His backlog is huge, but I'm going, dude, if you like Wind Waker, come on, man, you need to play Okami.
It's only a backlog if you're going to get to them eventually. He's never going to. He just keeps.
That is true.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, he just replays the same games over and over. Last of Us. Or is on Helldivers or Minecraft when I see him on PlayStation.
No, Mace, I'll tell you this. It was around 120 in Yakuza, like the Infinite Wealth. Not 120. It was about over 100 hours in this game when I was doing the DLC and I was roaming around Yokohama. And I was playing the game and I was feeling to myself, I was like, you know, like it feels like comfortable here. Like, I know this, I know these streets. And I was like walking around, like, there's something nice about that. Like, you were like, I could stay here for another 25 hours.
Okay. But let me ask you this. Now that you've put it down, are you ever going to go back and replay that game?
No, I got the platinum. I'm out.
Okay. There we go. But Clay would
go back. I will, because I'm going to go back and get the platinum.
But my point being, Maze,
I think we should all buy the DLC.
Right. But my point being is Tim and I would go back and play because we love it that much. You're absolutely never going to go back and replay that for New Game Plus. Let's just be honest here. If this was Last of Us, I would never play that on New Game Plus. Clay would go back. I mean, how many times has Clay played Last of Us Part 1 and 2?
5 times.
Yeah, to the point that none of us here can fathom.
Like, I'm not joking, like 5 times. Yeah.
I just don't understand. I mean, is he doing it because he wants a new experience for the HD, or is he doing it because he just loves it?
Hey, you know what? You know what? We respect it.
I respect it.
Gaming's gaming, and we love our esports correspondent. We love Clay. We're just all I'm saying is Clay, if you're listening, Okami.
There's so many other games
out there.
There's so many other games out there. That's all we're saying is that, you know, Last of Us Part 1 and 2, fantastic games. Love them to death. I will never go back to
RoboCop, Rogue City.
Another fine example that I'm not so sure belongs to the same company as Last of Us Part 1 and 2. But yeah, you go.
I think it's almost as good. But guys, going back to Fallout, the TV show. So I finished it. Everybody that I talked to is really into it, even Bill Kirsten's into it too.
I know she's a Fallout fan. I'm wondering, you know, so we're all in tune with the game. Like, we all understand what the game is. Even Maze.
Yeah,
like,
but
I know,
you and me have never played it though.
I've dabbled in it. I played it for a couple hours. I haven't finished the game.
But like, I'm not gonna count that. Couple hours.
Like, yeah, 10 hours. Like, I would count Maze like as somebody hours? Who's
I would count Maze though as somebody. So Maze said he didn't play the game, so I would count him.
No, but
as
I
saying,
want
hey,
to.
Hey, listen, yeah.
I mean, I know.
Are you gonna play Fallout 4 next gen?
When you said that, I seriously do want to play Fallout because I've never played it, and it is a shame because that is like a game that's right up my alley. But I think that's what makes the show so great is that it doesn't even matter if you haven't played the games because it's not dependent on that. Like, you can go into this and it can still be a great ride. Like, I know a little bit about Fallout. I understand it. I know what it's about, so I get that. But obviously, you're going to get a whole hell of a lot more out of this TV show if you've played the games. You know, there's little Easter eggs and, like, nods to the game itself that are great. But if you haven't, it's not that big of a deal. You can still enjoy the show. It's still a great ride. And I think that's what makes it so good, is that it's not dependent on you having played the game series.
Yeah, I think the thing I would say is I watched the whole thing with Ellie. She's never played any Fallout games, and I think that similar to I'm going to relate this to Dune 2. I watched Dune 2 with Jimmy, who the whole time was explaining to me certain aspects that made the movie better. But I think that it enhanced my viewing knowing certain things, but I still could go back and watch the movie the normal way, and I think that without any help and kind of figure it out on my own. And I think that Fallout does kind of teeter that line, and I think sometimes it does infer that you've played the game or have some knowledge, but I think for the most part
it doesn't
decent job.
I really don't. I don't think I've ever really felt that way, that it really teeters that line that it's like, yeah, you played the game, you know what it's about. Because I think at the end of the day, you get what the gist of the story is. Like, well, you're in a post-apocalyptic wasteland after nuclear fallout.
Well, I think one thing that I appreciated, though, is there's a... How do I put this without spoiling? If you're worried about spoilers, and Maze, this doesn't spoil it, but if somebody's very adamant about, hey, I don't want to be spoiled about this at all, skip forward the next like 2 or 3 minutes. But I'm going to say this, when it comes to the end, which I'm not going to say anything, Maze, because I know you never play this, but as a Fallout fan, a lot of it is knowledge that you already know. And I think that on top of there's a bigger twist. So there's knowledge that helps that essentially helps that, but it's building to it, and you go, oh, I remember that. And then the final reveal is something that you don't see coming. So with that being said, it enhances it because I go, oh, okay. But
yeah, I mean, that speaks to what I said earlier, and that is like, if you play the series, you're gonna get a lot more out of this TV show. But if you haven't, you're not completely lost. You might catch on to things a little bit faster than I did or Bill would, because we haven't played the game. But they're going to give it to you. Like, it's just like that. That's like kind of the bonus that you get. If you played the game, you're going to figure it out sooner. You're going to see stuff coming sooner than I would. But you can still enjoy it as someone who's coming into it and looking at it as strictly as just a TV show. And I think that's what I like about the Fallout series, is that it enthralls me. It's pulling me in, knowing full well I haven't played the games. It's still a fun ride, but I know enough. Like, it's a nuclear wasteland. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to appreciate that, to figure
that's
out what's
really
going on.
Know.
Yeah, like, it's all you need to know. And
people are trying to survive.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the tertiary details, I think, are really, they do a really good job of sprinkling in details that you as a gamer, they don't, for instance, I'll say one in the beginning that doesn't spoil anything at all, is when the show starts, they show the battle in Anchorage, how them losing the battle in Anchorage against, I believe, in the game, it's against the Chinese in Anchorage, which is in Fallout 3. There's a DLC, Operation Anchorage, which that the whole thing is about. And that's like a 5 second, not even 5 second, like a 2 second clip. And as a gamer, you go, oh, okay, they're true to the lore here. And there's certain things that you're watching as you kind of go through, and you go, oh, okay, you know, like, that makes sense. There's a thing with a stim pack, what you see, and all sorts of other kind of little kind of Easter eggs, like items that they have. That. Yeah.
But again, I think that's what they did well, is that they present everything in a way that it looks like it's just a regular old TV show. You can understand what's going on. The Stimpak, perfect example. Even if you didn't play the game, you get it. It takes place in a world where it's kind of like 1950s-esque, but they had technology. Like, you know, that kind of futuristic past kind of thing we got going on there. But you understand the Stimpak is like, oh, it's a healing device. You didn't need to play the game to figure that out. They presented it to you in a way that is understandable. But hey, if you played the game, you'd be like, that's a Stimpak. Or that's Fault Boy and Fault Tech and all that stuff. Like, you get that. And it's just like,
and
it's like little
instant,
fun things that you pick up.
And it's instant healing, like later
yeah.
on the show.
And that's,
like,
yeah.
You see,
and
how
that's the fun thing.
Someone if they don't get it.
Yeah. And yeah. And you also know that, you know, the radiation will turn you into a ghoul. Like, that is a, you know, that's the whole thing. And ghouls can live forever. But the problem is that you need, you know, certain chemicals. So, but with that being said, I think the one thing, and we could kind of maybe talk about this next week when you guys are further along in the show, but the last thing I'll say is that this has had an awesome impact on the Fallout games. My hope is that Phil Spencer somewhere in some, maybe even a Fallout bunker, somewhere he is saying, hey guys, we need to make Fallout 5. Because Fallout 4 is the number one game selling right now, I believe, on Steam in Europe. It has jumped crazy amounts. Fallout 76 alone had over 1 million players. It overshot what it was at its hit. It's way went over its peak amount of how many people are playing at the same time. And it hit at one point over 1 million players. The Fallout 3, 4, and New Vegas and 76 have, at, you know, in the past week, have amassed over 5 million people playing. So
what
it is just amazing to see.
What is the new enhancements do? Is it like new challenges, new any? Is it like just enhanced graphics and performance? Is it textures? Is it do we know what it is?
Yeah, so it's coming out on April 25th to all consoles.
Thursday.
The one bad thing about this is that there's a big mod in the community, Fallout London. And Fallout, the series, similar to Skyrim, has a lot of mod support over the years. That's their big thing. The problem is that with this new update, the team that's behind the Fallout London mod, which is a huge mod, it's essentially like a brand new open world, they're putting it on hold indefinitely because they don't know what's... They said this update kind of caught them off guard, and they don't know how it'll affect the main game. So essentially, here's what it adds. The free update includes essentially a native application for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S. There's going to be performance mode and quality mode settings, as well as stability improvements and fixes. And some of these include experiences up to 60 frames per second and increased resolutions. It's going to be free, and so it's just stability improvements, quality improvements, and 60 frames per second.
This is okay. Fallout 4.
So no, it's not like it's not like the Witcher where it's like textures and all that stuff. Like,
I don't know Witcher off the top of my head. It's not built from the ground up, but they are adding extra items. So there's going to be more kind of free items in the game. So you're going to get some items from the Enclave. So what the Enclave is, for though they don't mention it at all in the TV show, but the Enclave is the government, so to speak. It's like what the government became, and it's kind of, they don't really talk about it in 3, 4 and New Vegas. It's been a while since I played 3, so I forget, but the Enclave is kind of like the top secret US government that was running things, and then they kind of disbanded, so it's all kind of like myth. But you get an Enclave pack, so you get Enclave weapon skins, armor, cannons, all this other stuff. You get a makeshift weapon pack, and you get some more kind of workshop items. So it's very, very cool. So I would definitely go and check this out if you're a big Fallout fan. If you haven't played Fallout 4 before, I believe it's still free on PlayStation Plus as like an essential title. So for Maze and Bill, like, this essentially is free, and on Thursday you can get an updated pack. I would highly suggest too, if you get it, check out the DLC for this. So I'm probably going to actually jump back in because I've yet to play the DLC. The DLC is Nuka World and Far Harbor. So Nuka World is kind of based loosely, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's based on Hershey Park. Far Harbor, obviously based on Bar Harbor, Maine. And then Fallout 4 being based in Boston. So it being, a Boston local and kind of that, it was kind of fun to play it and get to kind of, see all the different, sites and like Diamond City and Fenway Park kind of thing. Obviously it's a very, it's not one for one, but it is kind of cool.
Shout out to them for doing this update for free, knowing full well that the TV show was probably going to garner this kind of traction. It's amazing what a good TV show can do for you and just like get a whole new player base.
Smart.
Involved.
Yeah. I mean, they, Last of Us did it too with the update. The Last of Us, like PlayStation 5 version, it sold well.
I think the one nice thing about this though is that this is free. The Last of Us update, I believe, is $10. So this is one of those, we could say, it has less content, but the nice thing is that they are doing this. It is free. I would highly suggest if you do play this, the DLC is massive here. It's not like a little DLC pack. It's two big packs. And I really liked Fallout 4.
If you were a PlayStation Plus subscriber earlier on, this was a free game at one time. So if you downloaded it then, you probably still have it in your library. You can re-download it. Maze, I don't know if you did that.
But you were saying, Tim, that it's still available or is it no longer available?
I believe it's still available. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I have to go look.
Go check.
I'm going to go check this out because I do want to jump into the Fallout games. I never have. This show has piqued my interest, and I do want to,
another 100-hour game.
At this point, Bill, I've gone from Yakuza to Final Fantasy, which, by the way, I'm over 50 hours now.
Me too.
Here's here's how I would play them. If you are playing Fallout 4, and I'm going to sound like an Xbox nut here for a minute. Fallout 4, and here's my view of the Fallout series. I played 2 hours of 76 over the past weekend, so I can fairly judge that. I bought the Fallout 1, Fallout First, or whatever. I played it, actually 2.5 hours. I was playing for a while. And once again, that's not enough to experience a Fallout game, but it's kind of enough to experience what the game is, especially since I played Fallout New Vegas 3 and 4, and pretty much all the DLC except for the ones in 4. And I platinumed all the games. I would say that if you Fallout 76 is not a bad game. It's a good game. But the problem is Fallout 4, Fallout New Vegas, and Fallout 3 are the better ones. The people that say Fallout New Vegas is the best, they have a point. It is my favorite Fallout game, but it doesn't. And I know people are saying, "Oh, Fallout 4 is out of those three is the worst." Fallout 4 is still a very good game. I think it was just plagued a lot with bugs, and in many ways, it does have an awesome building mechanic system. I think it has probably one of the best worlds. It's less drab. It's more colorful. I think 3 was very kind of that 2007 Gears, except they just turned on the green filter instead.
Nuclear Wasteland.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love 3. Yeah, no, I love 3. New Vegas is the best, but here's my take of how you should play them. Start with 4 with the performance update, and because I think that's going to be the easiest one to get into. If you really like that, then only on your Xbox, because you can't play it on your PlayStation because it's a PlayStation 3 game, go and get Fallout New Vegas on your Xbox and play the enhanced version at 60 frames a second. That's the next one I would play. And if you really love that one and you beat all the DLC for that, then and only then get Fallout 3. Fallout 3 is great. I love Fallout 3. But I think the easiest one to jump into, just given the new performance mode and kind of the graphics, would be 4, followed by New Vegas, and then 3 at 60 frames per second. And I played those two on Xbox, the two older ones, because of the 60 frames a second stuff. But anyway, any other Fallout stuff, we can move on. But
no, love the TV show. Recommend you go check it out if you haven't, whether you're a fan of the games or just looking for something to watch.
I'm pumped.
Also, shout out to... Oh, I'm sorry, go Hill.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I was going to say, also, shout out to the lead actress, Ella Purnell, who just decided to go full in on this role, and she actually played the games to really immerse herself in the actual TV show and the role itself.
I love that. I also love the
interview. You gotta love that.
I also love the interview with Todd Howard. And he's like, "You really gave it a 9? Like, he was like shocked. Have you seen that one?
It's like, I haven't gotten a 9 a long time.
Yeah, he was like blown away by it. I was like, "Oh, he's a genuine guy. Like, this is awesome." Like,
hey, I think it deserves it. It's a great show.
He needed that win.
Also, I was very shocked, like, how gory this show is.
Yeah, I mean,
how what?
How gory it is.
Oh, it's a very gory show. The last episode is badass.
It's funny. And it's already funny, renewed though, for season like, 2. That's the best part about the Fallout universe is that it's like gory comedy. It's almost like Zombieland in a way, where it's like,
it kind of is.
Where it's like that fun. It's like a terrible world that all these people are living in, but it's like funny and gory at times. It's kind of comedic. I don't know how to describe it. I guess that's how you.
No, I think
real quick, the guy in the very beginning is I feel like I've seen that in a mission before, where the guy's just, he's in his underwear outside in like the little house mending in the middle of the desert, and he's mending his vegetables. The
water filter.
Yeah. That's the guy in the desert. I feel like I've seen that in Fallout before. And you just go, that's random as hell.
They probably pulled it from there, but I think Bill's right. I think it's kind of like comedic in ways, especially with Ella Purnell's character, because like she's just so naive to the outside world. And she tries to be like all this like innocent and friendly and try to help others, and it just doesn't go that way. Not in a nuclear apocalypse.
Hey, it's good though. Cool stuff. But with that being said, I only have just a quick update on the PlayStation Portal, and then we talked about I played some Fallout 76. That's pretty much what I've been playing on because busy week. But I just have a quick update on the PlayStation Portal. I love my PlayStation Portal. It's working great. On Starlink. It's fantastic. I have a gripe, though. Mace, this brings it back because I loved it and I moved it up a couple points. Then I moved it back down and I'm sitting at like a 7.2 after a couple months, because just a quick PSA out there, unless they maybe updated this, but you can't use it. You know how online, and Mace, I was explaining this to Billy, but you know how when you go to like an airport, you have to log in with like a website will come up.
Yeah.
So you can't do that on the portal. Any web online thing, doesn't let you do that, and a warning will come up saying, "Hey, trying to access like the web page to get on this web to use this Wi-Fi." So, for instance, if you're using it at a hotel, doesn't work. There are certain hotels.
You know, all kidding aside, that's kind of a big drawback, because the whole idea is to take it on the go and be able to play wherever you are. But that's a big thing in this day and age, like where you go, a lot of the Wi-Fi you have to log in through a web page, whether it's a hotel, a coffee shop, airport.
Honestly, exactly. Why the fuck do the people do that? Like, I know it's like for firewall reasons, right? But it's like,
yeah, really? it's to prevent you know, just people from accessing it, because it's like one more step to get into the Wi-Fi.
But it's just like, let's make it like, come on, like, really?
But I would say this, it works. But when it's fast, like when you're using it on good network, it is literally like playing a Switch. And that is where it shines. You know, I thought it was just going to be,
it's better than a Switch when it's performing like it should be. Like in your, it's like playing a
streaming
PlayStation
off your PlayStation 5. Yeah, it's streaming off your PlayStation. It should be.
And the battery on it is pretty good, but I think that was just one thing, because the earphone thing pissed me off. That got under my skin. This one was just, I was like, okay, I mean,
I saw that one. Explain that. Explain to me who thought that was a good idea not to include like just standard Bluetooth and be the proprietary whatever the fuck PlayStation calls their like technology.
I don't know. I think though, Maze, my problem though was a couple weekends ago, because T-Mobile, and here's the thing. T-Mobile and AT&T, I believe, or Verizon, two of them block. They know it's a streaming device, so they'll block it from using the Wi-Fi, which is fine. I don't blame Sony for that.
Sony has no control over that, though.
Yeah. I don't blame Sony for that. But the thing that got me was, for Anthony's wedding, I brought my Portal with me, thinking, oh, I'm gonna game, you know, tonight here. And I couldn't use it because I had to essentially log in through the hotel Wi-Fi, and
an oversight on their part, honestly. Given how prevalent those login web portals are for a lot of public Wi-Fis, or when you're like somewhere like, again, like a coffee shop, airport, hotel, that does seem like an oversight on Sony's part, that there's not a way to access them, or, you know, do that. It comes back to it. I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. It's not for me. Obviously it has a niche. I still believe that, you know, they could have made a better device by making it like a standalone device where you could download some games to it and play it natively on it and then have to stream. So that when you run into these issues, like, okay, I can't play my big AAA title like Final Fantasy while I'm, you know, away on vacation and just like lounging, but I can play some like other maybe indie title that I downloaded beforehand to my PlayStation library and enjoy that.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. I think that would be a fair way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing. And then there's also, again, I the whole Bluetooth thing, that one just rubs me the wrong way. Like, why did it have to be the proprietary, whatever connection?
They may decide to correct that in the future. Who knows? Like,
can you at this point though? Because do they have the Bluetooth capable? Well, here's the difference though. Nintendo had the chipset built into it. That's what the Joy-Cons use. They just had to open it to us.
does the portal have that ability? Can they just add it, unlock
well,
it later?
Well, once again, I don't know what it's built on. We'll never know. I think it is a little bit of an oversight, but I think it also is probably intentional, where they're going, hey, listen, I think in many ways they also could have just done it to prevent people from jailbreaking this thing or kind of doing more than it should be with this thing. I think
people are going
to
find a way.
There was somebody that already got PlayStation 1 games to play on this.
But they're going to find a way. So is that really a reason to not allow for standard Bluetooth connectivity?
Maybe,
I mean, thing I'll say, the problem I have with that one part in particular is that we said it, like, you can use any of the Pulse headsets with it, like the Buds, whatever they're called, the Pro, what are the, I don't know, you know, little earbud Pulses. You can use those with your Portal because it has the built-in receiver already in the Portal, but you can't use any other Bluetooth device. The ironic thing about it is that the Pulse headset or even those Buds, they have Bluetooth. You could use the earbuds on your phone with Bluetooth or any other Bluetooth device. It's just like, why is it not in the Portal itself, I guess is what I'm getting at, when the earbuds can be used with any other device that uses Bluetooth.
Yeah. What sucks too is that the old PlayStation headset, like for PlayStation 5, doesn't work with it. It's only the new ones, the
$200 ones.
The $200 ones or the $150 new headset.
I can't use my current Pulse headset with it?
No.
Oh. I'm sorry. That's just even making more reason. Why?
They just don't want you to. They want you to buy.
It's,
they want you to pay.
Mates, money, you, baby. Sony. Money.
Fuck you, Sony. You keep giving me these things and you're telling me it's great, but then they do this kind of bullshit. I can't use the already $150 headset I bought.
No, did you just buy the brand new ones?
No, I'm talking about the old one.
No, so the new ones work. The new ones they just
released. That's great, but it's
the one that we bought when the console came out, you can't use it.
Yeah, you can't.
That's stupid. There's no,
and there's no headphone jack. At least I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Look, I've gotten past that. Everyone is phasing out the headphone jack. I'm over that. But the fact that I can't use the Sony branded, Sony made headset with a Sony device is stupid. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, no, you're not. But I'll say this, guys. Let's wrap this thing up. And let's do video game recommendations of the week. Maze, we'll start with you.
I mean, I'm going to go Fallout 4, honestly, because I want to play that. I'm fully invested in Fallout now after the TV show. So I'm going to throw Fallout 4 there just because I want to do it. Anyone who's watching the show alongside me who's not played the games, we should all do it together. Let's all jump into the wasteland, the nuclear wasteland. See if we can survive.
For 100 hours.
Yeah. Maze,
you have to platinum it.
You know what? I probably would. I've already done it with Yakuza. I'm doing it right now with Final Fantasy. What's another 100-hour game?
Did you platinum
Yakuza?
No, I didn't. I have to go back and do that. I'm just saying, I've played two back-to-back. I'm assuming Final Fantasy will get close to 100 hours. I'm assuming.
Fallout took me
at chapter 9. We're going to probably...
I don't know. Like, when I said earlier, the guy I spoke to at Best Buy said, like, 70 hours was the halfway point. We're past the halfway point.
I'll say this, though, Fallout...
I don't know what the last several chapters are going to be like. To be completely honest.
Maze, Fallout took me to platinum it. Took me about 140 something hours.
Yeah, so what's another 100 plus hour game?
You're right.
So I'm going to go with the Fallout train. But I also do want to recommend a TV show. This is for you and me, Tim, because we're both on this train. Billy, you're welcome to join. I don't know if you want to, but you're welcome to join.
Please, Knuckles. I mean,
April 26th, this Friday, launches Paramount.
I've heard mixed things about this, Maze.
We're still watching it. We're still watching, Tim. You don't get to weasel
Maze, are we
going to
binge
this? You're in.
Are we gonna binge this? Should we all should we all binge this together? Like all
I'll be home in 2 weekends. I think we binge it
then.
We
should binge
it. We Tim, we could just set up like I can put you on a little monitor in the room and you can be in the room. Well,
does Paramount offer like a lot of these streaming services? Do they offer like the the ability to watch with other people? Like you can connect your streams?
I wish.
Oh, that'd be great.
Like, I know Netflix does.
No, Paramount is too Paramount's not good enough for that. But okay, so with that being said,
we're doing it.
We're doing it 2 weeks. So Maze, you recommended
we can do it.
Yeah, we could do it. So Maze, you recommended Knuckles and Fallout 4. Bill, what do you recommend?
I don't know if I recommended it last week. It came out last week. The Rising Tide DLC for Final Fantasy 16 dropped and everyone's fucking loving it. It's supposedly excellent.
There's another game we have to go back to.
I am going to go back and play this because this game, from what I've heard, is like just fucking great. The boss battle is, like they say, is as challenging as some of the best in the Final Fantasy games. It's like the fight against Leviathan and Ifrit. So really, really looking forward to that and closing out that game. I know like Ben Starr, who did the, he voiced Clive in that game, was like pumped and said like, so long to everyone at the end. I was like, that's fucking great. Stoked for that, but
I don't know about you, Bill. Do you find Final Fantasy 16 was harder, or are you finding Final Fantasy 7 has more difficult battles? I'm erring towards Final Fantasy 7.
I think there's a lot of stupid shit in Final Fantasy VII. Like I'm playing it. Like,
dude, that's a better way to put it.
Yeah. Like Maze, wait till.
Did you get to the Cactuar battle?
No. Wait till you get to the plucking mushroom mini game.
Oh, I've done those already.
That's stupid.
What do you think I'm behind you?
No. I mean, that's. No. I hated that thing.
That wasn't as bad. Did you play the Cactuar battle? That was stupid.
Yeah, that one was bad.
That was literally like just getting lucky and not getting just absolutely demolished in the first 50 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like you just had to sprint around. But yeah, no, it's mm-hmm. I think I like the combat of Final Fantasy. I think Final Fantasy 16, I'm leading it. I like it more. I know it sounds crazy. I think there's like I was reading a Reddit thread of like the two different games and like people were split. Some people said the 7 is better. Is in superior in every way.
I can see it. I can see 16. I can be leaning that way with you.
I just think the boss battles are cooler. I think the cast of characters in this game I like more in Final Fantasy VII, but I do love Clive. I loved
Clive and Joshua and Jill and all of them. I thought they were great.
And Torgal and I love
and Torgal.
Who's the dude in the beginning with a deep voice?
Sid.
Yeah, love that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I love Sid. I can see it. Like, I think I felt more attuned to those cast of characters in 16 than I have so far in 7. Not that they're bad, but it's something about Clive and all of them really did it for me.
It's very classic. It's a classic. It feels very classic, traditional role-playing game medieval. This one's very all over the place. That's, I think, another thing.
Well, I mean... I think that's the other thing. Is like all of a sudden you're fighting for your life, and the next thing you know, you're in a fucking amusement park.
Yeah, with a big buff guy in tights coming at you. Yeah.
Here's my thing. I'm going to be honest, guys. The more I hear about Final Fantasy 16 or Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, I'm more leaning into playing Final Fantasy 16 over that. I think it's an.
I think you should play Final Fantasy 16. Well, I mean, it's a standalone story. I think you should. I absolutely think you should play Final Fantasy 16.
But there's plenty of games that we have to play before then. I'll do a quick recommendation. Maze, I'm gonna go off of yours, but I'm gonna do one more on that. And that I highly recommend checking out if you have it, an Xbox Series X, check out Fallout New Vegas and get the 60 frames per second. But if you want to play Fallout 4. Go, you're already going to like it. I'm guaranteeing you're going to like it. That's a guarantee. And get the DLC. Get the season pass and just go in all in. You got to get the Far Harbor DLC. You got to get the the Nuka-Cola World DLC. And then if you really like that, then a couple months you check out New Vegas. I love me some New Vegas. But with that being said, sounds like we got our game recommendations of the week. Additionally, to make sure to go and check out all those games, but also go and check out the Fallout TV show. We talked a lot about that on today's show. Mm-hmm. Go and check out that. While we love the PlayStation Portal, maybe hold off on a little bit. Billy, anything, or Maze, any closing comments before we close off the show?
Let's game.
Boom.
Got a Maze. Lot of gaming to do.
Game hard.
There we go. See you guys next week. Deuces.
Later, everybody.